You're listening to Microphone Check Hip Hop from NPR Music. I'm Franny Kelly.
I'm Ali Shaheed Muhammad.
And we're here with
Mike Dean.
At night I can't sleep, I toss and turn. Candlesticks in the dark, visions of bodies being burned.
I need your love, so hit me on my cell. Girl, give me a call, girl, give me a call.
I got a pocket full of stone.
You've worked with a lot of notable hip-hop artists. Ghetto Boys, Mike Jones, UGKs, just name a couple. You know, it's a pleasure to have you up here.
Thank you.
You work with, at least from a New Yorker's perspective, from the side of hip-hop that is massive, that I think had to really fight hard to get theirs.
Yeah.
Where are you from?
From Houston area.
You're from Houston. I know where you're from, yeah. But, you know.
I'm from the country, really.
Like, how country is country?
Like I grew up on a bayou, and the small town that I lived in was, like, 10 miles from me, so it's,
so,
you know, I grew up in the middle of nowhere.
When were you born?
65.
See what I'm saying? So this is like the people need to know this because, yeah, like, you were born in the South, 1965. What was the background like? What was your childhood like?
I was a Dow Chemical baby. Like, my dad was designing chemical plants for Dow Chemical.
Wow.
And he died when I was a kid, so I was like, I always said I would never work in chemical plants or do any of that kind of shit. So that's why I kind of got into music. And
so was music like always just something to kind of like carry away from, like that had to be a difficult situation.
Yeah, music and motorcycles was my thing when I was a kid.
So when you say like, were you repairing motorcycles or what were you doing?
I raced for Suzuki.
All right. So
when I was a kid,
you got into music at like what age?
Started playing piano when I was like 8 years old.
What kind? Classical?
Yeah, classical, straight.
Do you have a teacher?
Yeah, I had the same teacher, Ms. Ambule, for like 18 years, something like that.
Really?
Not 18 years, like 15. I kept going to her even when I was like 20. You know?
So you were dedicated. So
yeah.
You kind of knew. So was music always like part of your life plan?
Yeah, my sister played piano, my brother played sax. So it's like they all inspired me to play music.
You play together?
No, we never played together much. We just all did our own thing.
What were some of your musical heroes, like when you, from like early age, like
early age,
8,
like
11.
Black Sabbath, Blue Oyster Cult, like Deep Purple, like old rock shit, all the old prog rock stuff.
Okay.
What'd you play with your teacher?
We played all like just Beethoven, Chopin, Mozart, just standard stuff. That's cool. I played bassoon in orchestra also.
What?
That was my main. That was my main instrument for like 10, 12 years. It's like,
yo, you're ridiculously talented. It's no wonder. I mean, just like everything that you've done and just actually seeing you live a couple of times. So,
yeah.
But just to hear those sorts of things, it's like.
Yeah.
So, you're listening to Black Sabbath, probably Vangelis, all that, Deep Purple, right?
Yeah.
So, how did you get into hip-hop? Like, what was the first hip-hop song you heard?
I had a group called Def Squad. Not the Def Squad.
I was like, really? They time traveling?
A group called Def Squad. This is like 1989. This is just a local group in Freeport, Texas, like by Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And I met the guy in a music store where I, you know, bought equipment at. And he said, oh, you can play that? And, you know, I had a drum machine and shit, you know. So we went and made it like my first hip-hop song. And it's whenever all the New York hip-hop was popping off. And I was all into P-Funk back then.
Okay.
You know, like funk music. I was like friends with George back since I was like 17 or something.
Wow.
Like, I was supposed to play keyboards.
How'd that happen?
I met Mike Hampton, the guitar player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the guy with the diaper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Met Mike Hampton when I was like 16. He liked me a lot. He started bringing me around. When Bernie Worrell left, I was supposed to play keyboards for him. But I was making like $300 more a week than they offered me playing for Selena. So I stayed with Selena.
You played with Selena?
I'm like
Selena?
Scratching my head right now.
What?
Yeah, Selena's. I made her first record and like, you know, like taught her how to sing in tune, you know, give her more musical taste than her family could possibly have.
Wow.
That's crazy.
You know?
That is crazy.
I had that album on a tape.
Like when she'd be singing and she'd sing flat, I'd hit a note on my keyboard real loud on stage to be like, okay, ding, ding, ding. You know, I've worked with her since she was like 8 till she was like 13.
Pensaba que sus días terminaban, pero el cielo está de luto.
me and her dad had a big falling out. I split.
Wow.
They wouldn't let her sing English music, and I was like, y'all are wasting her.
So you like friends with George Clinton at the age of 16. You've seen and done a lot, obviously, then.
Yeah, first time I smoked cocaine, burning.
What?
I was like 16, like, I didn't smoke weed, I didn't do anything, I was straight.
Well, I was just curious, you know, a lot of people who get into music, you know, you can look back on a moment and know, and this specific event happened that you knew you were going to make music and that was going to be, like, it, the end.
I was like 10 years old.
So what happened?
I just used to watch, like, remember the old variety shows?
Like
Sonny and Cher. My favorite was Captain and Jamil. Remember that shit?
Yeah.
You know, the dude with this little keyboard, that, like, inspired me to want to do that shit.
Okay.
Watch that, I'd be like, it looks a lot better than working in a chemical plant. It's, like, a cool way to make a living, you know?
So then what was the first thing that you did that solidified that moment you had?
I'm going to start with Selena. Graduated from high school. I took off with her, like, the day I graduated. So we went on the road touring. Made her first role on the radio.
What did that feel like?
Well, it was great. Back then, I mean, it's so small now, you know, looking back on it, but it was a big thing back then.
When you made your first hip-hop song, was it, like, something that you were mimicking, or was it just, like, something that you just...
Yeah, we were just, like, listening to the old Rick Rubin shit.
Okay.
And, you know, trying to make shit like that without an 808, you know? We didn't know what the 808 was. We didn't use drum machines for a long time. It was all samplers, you know?
Yeah.
And we just put sounds in there. You know Joe?
No.
He produced all the Ghetto Boy stuff with me.
Okay.
And he was the first guy that came to Houston with the drum machine. He had an MPC. We were all like, whoa. Like, you know, before that, we made everything with just a sampler and one keyboard. Like.
So what was, at that point then, were you trying to establish your own sound in terms of, like, you know, repping Houston and that sort of thing, or was it?
Yeah, I always tried to like be different than everything.
Yeah.
You know, trying to put a lot of classical influences. You can hear that on all the old Rap A Lot stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of classical piano and chords like that.
So what was your favorite project from Rap A Lot?
Back then, probably Untouchable. Okay. Scarface.
Okay.
That's like the biggest record and probably the best record. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's it like to work with Scarface?
That's cool. He's a real talented, psychotic guy. He's like still probably one of my favorite rappers, you know. Him, Kanye, and Jay. Corrupt.
Did you do Smile?
Yeah. We were there when they recorded it, and after Pac died, we remade the beat again, because the beat was kind of crap that they rapped on. Pac would rap on it anymore. We military minded soldiers, busting shots blindly, trying to find Jehovah to help somebody save me. Lost, crazy, scared to drop a seed, hoping I ain't curse my babies. Maybe now niggas feel me now, pitching my pain, embrace my words, make the world change. And still I smell, nigga. He wanted to get his lyrics out before he got killed. He knew he was dying. He was kind of going for it, trying to record as much as possible so he didn't get lost in the minutiae of the beats. That's why you hear him rapping all over all kinds of crap, you know? And as you journey into outer space, may the angels help to lead the way. May the prayers that our families make shine up on your soul and keep it safe. And all the homies that have passed away, they're there to greet you as you pass the gates. And as you head to the tunnel's light, I hope it leads to eternal life.
I love Scarface. He's such a musical, just...
Yeah, he plays.
He plays,
all,
yeah.
He plays all the instruments. And yeah. I'm about to get with him and work with him this summer.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, nice guy.
Yeah, very nice.
He came up to New York a couple months ago. We went out to dinner, hung out a few times. It's good to see the guy.
You did Zeros, I Hate You, Bitch.
Yeah.
I love that song.
It's one of my favorites. I kept him out of jail with that song, actually.
What do you mean?
Because that's a true story, the song. Like, he called me and said, man, this bitch broke my house and took my chains, and took her kids and took all the shit. I'm going to kill that bitch. And I was like, man, come on my house, let's make a song about that bitch. He came over and he hung out, he smoked some weed, drank some syrup, and made I Hate You, Bitch. So I knocked out a Guitar Center salesman one time.
Oh my God.
The day he got out of prison, I took him up to Guitar Center to get some shit. He's like, dude said he didn't like his last album. I was like,
He said he didn't like his last album. Why would he do that?
I don't know. He got the shit slapped out of him. It was like crazy.
Yeah, because you wouldn't think that somebody would really just put their hands on you for saying you
it's
didn't
still
like
so
that.
Rude.
I'm just saying.
Him and Zero and, you know, Trey, the Truth. Those yeah. guys will not, I mean, they're not, they'll fuck you up, yeah. As in anybody in Houston.
So we know that you're a therapist, and we know who to send people to when they really got some emotions, some serious emotions they carrying. We keep them out of jail. We have them call you up and do,
you know,
make a little.
Get it out in the studio.
Get it out.
You see how Kanye gets it out in the studio. You know, it's like his therapist is the studio.
It sure is, and we love that he's so vulnerable and allows it.
That's what makes it great. I'm a God's great song.
I walked away. That song was on my head the rest of the night.
It's that shit up in there. Bam, 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 bam. The sound is just like, it's like an alarm going in your fucking head.
Whose idea was that?
Right.
I am a God. I am a God.
I am a God. I mean, me and Kanye worked on that track since last year. Started off him and Daft Punk, and I ended up, you know, co-producing the thing. Mm-hmm. So it's me, him, and Daft Punk producers. And it's not much to talk about. It's just an awesome fucking song. it's got like an 808 keyboards, and it's real loud.
Soon as they like you, make them unlike you. Cause kissing people ass is so unlike you. The only rapper compared to Michael. So here's a few hating ass niggas to fight you. And here's a few stink ass niggas to bite you. I don't even wanna hear about what niggas might do. Old niggas mentally still in high school. Sit the tight jeans, they ain't never like you. Pink ass polos with a fucking backpack. But everybody know you brought real rap back. Nobody ass swag, man, we the rap pack. Virgil, Pyrex, Dossie, Snapback. I've been diamond, shot down shining. Monopin' this bitch again, change the crime.
I'm making a good showing on the album. I'm probably more production than I've ever done on a Kanye album or Watch the Throne. It's good.
New York ran like a oral history of My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy about mm-hmm. how everybody was like going to Hawaii and everything.
Yeah.
And we would eat together and whatever.
Yeah.
And Kanye, like, somehow he gets that monster verse out of Nicki, and she hasn't come close to that since then.
Yeah, that was a process. She didn't just go in the booth and rap that shit, you know.
Right.
She went, you know, they wrote it together. She was rapping, he was listening to it for a while. I'm like, nah, it's not good, come back. I wasn't there through those sessions, I just heard about him.
Right, right, right.
I came in like 2 months into that album.
What was the hardest song to mix off that album sonically?
Power. My
Power.
It was screams from the haters, got a nice ring to it. I guess every superhero need his theme music. No one man should have all that power. The clock's ticking, I just count the hours. Stop tripping, I'm tripping off the power.
Was our Stronger of that album. Mm-hmm. Stronger was the hardest song of Graduation. Mm-hmm. We had like 14 different people mix it, literally. Like each person did like 20 mixes on the song. Finally put like 3 different people's mixes together to make it be the one. Power was the same way. I mixed that song for like a month. Then we sent it off to like 3 other people. I think Manny ended up mixing it. It's like I mix the song, I get it up to a certain point. Then I send the session to another mixer, and then they just carry it on from there.
So you obsess over sound, like, for hours and hours and hours of, you know?
Like I used to. I'm not like fast now.
You're faster?
Yeah.
Is it because, do you set up templates and stuff like that, or do you just start fresh map every time?
Start fresh every time.
Yeah.
I mean, when we work on a song recording, we work on the mixes we're making it, you know?
Right.
So it's like 95% there. You know, when we had pass it off to the mixer, they just have to like tweak it. You know?
Okay.
Make it a little better.
I like to do a one word association because you work with a lot of people. So,
okay. So I say one word.
One word. We can go into it if you want, if you feel it.
Right.
Let me just mention a few names. Bushwick Bill.
Crazy.
True.
Fucked up. I don't know about now. Maybe he's grown now.
King T.
Classic.
Mm. All right, Pimp C.
Game changing.
How so?
He's the one that I think brought the South music more to the forefront. Like, him kind of was the predecessor for all trap music that's out now.
Right.
You know, the way he used to program his drums.
What do you most miss about him?
Just hanging out, partying with him, really.
Yeah. You party. I know you party. I've seen you a couple times, man. Just backstage.
We went hard. We had fun.
All right.
Yeah, I quit partying after he died.
That's what's up.
It's kind of a wake-up call.
It's important for people,
you
know, to know
we that. Did more partying than we did music. You know, we were just really good friends. Mm. I did Pocket Full of Stones with him when he was like 15, you know. He was like 16, something wow. like that. So I knew him for a long time.
Wow. Willie D.
Crazy. No. No, Willie D, militant.
Mm.
Bust your ass.
Yeah, I can see that. He even has that tone of, in his voice, too. Yeah, so
he's,
yeah.
he's serious.
All right, Yuck Mouth.
The homie. That's what all my best friends are. We were, you know, we were like best friends back in the 90s.
Juvenile.
Groundbreaking.
E-40.
Alcohol. Speaking of Yuck Mouth and E-40 and Be Legit, when we were doing, what album was that? Lunatic Music? Man, we spent 4 days in the studio with them making one song because they kept getting too fucked up. We used to play this game, hit it for 5, hold it for 10. We hit the weed for 5 seconds, hold it for 10. Hey. It's like, that was Be Legit shit.
I'm going to get back. Well, so have you made your best music, like, just always just nice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm always in the zone.
All right, Kanye West.
Epic.
Well, okay, well, I'm going to leave it. I'm going to leave because you've touched on a lot of important records.
We were really anti-hip-hop back then.
Really?
You know, kind of. I was. I wasn't into in what way? Music at all. Like,
when you say anti-hip-hop.
They started off as hip-hop. You know what I mean? Like coming up here, getting their songs from Rick Rubin and all that.
Right. But
we tried not to be like hip-hop. We tried to be like different. Hmm. Call it rap, I guess. You know, gangster rap music, really.
Okay.
But it's just funny that I'm like in so deep in hip-hop now, you know.
Considering where you began?
Yeah, East Coast, West Coast, South. Nobody really got along back then. You know, like we were all competitors, you know.
So when you think of what your work, obviously, I mean, you've had such a, you're woven into the fabric of hip-hop, you know, being anti-hip-hop. Do you look at yourself now as just like you are hip-hop?
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of a juvenile thing to think anti-hip-hop, really, but yeah.
Okay. Just want to make sure I ain't go far off the, you know,
yeah.
the deep end, because, like, you the blueprint for hip-hop, you yeah. know, for a lot of important.
All these kids making beats now and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, people are studying you. Yeah. You know, you're, and especially with Kanye, you're part of the most important pieces of art, at least for the past 2 decades.
Yeah, he definitely revived my career, you know.
And when you think of that, like when you have, if you're ever in a quiet space, I don't know how much quiet time you get, but do you really look at the fact that you've contributed to like historical pieces that's going to go on a couple hundred years? What do you think about that?
I want to be like remembered like Beethoven and Mozart and all that, you know, make stuff that's going to matter in a few hundred years, you know, not just some disposable radio shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I was one of the first people that really started playing a lot of live instruments on rap stuff. Before that, it was all samples. I've always been anti-sample, you know. I've never put a sample in a song myself. I always cover up samples and, you know, collaborate on samples.
Hmm.
I always try to be original.
Okay. Because Kanye used to sample a lot.
Yeah, it's the same thing as the hip-hop thing. Like, I've turned into a sample fixer, you know, elaborator.
Okay.
Sometimes we put a sample on something and build on it so much that we take the sample away.
Right.
You know, and it turns into something else.
Well, that's important for the legacy of the children, putting the children through college. Like,
yeah, I'm
that's
trying just, to, yeah.
That's, I don't know if you have kids, but.
No, I'm working on a retirement fund, though.
There you go.
Working on having some kids soon.
Instead of putting the money into the people's pockets who used to sample, but in terms of just, you know.
Yeah, I've been sampled, so that's a, you know.
Yeah, well, you like those checks too,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like Ashanti Baby, you know. I woke up one morning to go to 7-Eleven and heard this shit on the radio. I'm like, awesome. Never even knew it was going to happen until it was on the radio. So, we're talking about making an album one day just of instrumentals for people to sample. Me and Connie talked about that a couple of years ago.
Wow.
Just making music to be sampled, basically. Have hundreds of samples per song that people can snip away from, you know?
I can see that. Is there anyone that you were a fan of and worked with them because you heard their music and you thought, like, yeah, I really
King T is one.
Yeah.
So I love that funky piano song. Remember that?
No.
What? Like a funky piano? Oh, my God. It's, like, the best song in the world. It's like, oh, my God. You never heard funky piano?
I'm pretty sure I have heard it.
Yeah. I'll say it. You'll know it when you hear it. This is, like, the best West Coast song besides Behind the Wall.
Shit. I want to dedicate this song to all the motherfuckers out there that perpetrating. Wait, rewind. Hey, but yo, King T, man, what is this, man? What is this? Some cool shit for the King's anthology. And when I'm done, don't expect no apology. Stupid motherfucker should have stepped when I warned him. I'm from the boondocks of Compton, California. I'm just anxious to whoop some ass. I went to high school, but I flunked every class. So what makes you think I give a fuck about respect? I put your bitch in check, and I bet you won't run up. Son of a punk and a bitch, too. I should have did a drive-by on you and your crew. Cause y'all be popping some shit that's unheard of. For you, what's the word of?
Whack.
It's murder, son. When I be crushing your hood with a passion. And I ain't talking that Action Jackson. When I come, you better run for ammo. I'll get played like a fucking piano.
That shit was so inspiring to me.
So considering your approach to music has always been to not sample, because I was going to ask, how has technology, you know, changed your approach to production?
It's made it a lot easier to manipulate samples and stuff.
Yeah.
Like with Ableton, you know, you can just lock two different beats together kind of mindlessly.
What is your DAW for preference in recording?
Recording Pro Tools.
Pro Tools.
And then for making beats, Ableton. Making beats, playing keyboard parts and stuff like that.
Okay. I know a lot of kids are getting into Ableton.
And Fruity Loops also, actually.
You Fruity Loops do? How are your Fruity Loops?
You gotta do everything.
You prefigured everything about trap.
Yeah, it's like I can make authentic, just straight up, you know, trap shit, you know. It sounds just like, you know, all that other crap shit.
So has your work method changed through the years, or is it the same?
It's about the same. Yeah. I mean, every time we go in the studio, we figure out new ways to do shit, though. Yeah. Hmm. Pushing boundaries. Yeah.
So I heard you set up a studio in New York. Is that true?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
Why? Why New York City of all, like, you know, there's a lot of places you could have gone.
It's the place to be, kind of.
You think so?
As far as music, yeah.
Why? What's happening in New York City?
Because you can, like, be a 10-minute cab ride away from any meeting you want to pull, you know? Hmm. Instead of having to go somewhere. There's so much recording going on here. Although all the young rappers have kind of went west now. You know what I mean?
That's why I asked the question, because you could have gone to L.A.
Yeah, I've done L.A. in the 90s, though. Hmm. Me and Scarface were in L.A. from, like, 95 to, like, 98. Just staying out there's where we recorded all those albums at.
So do you feel that there's a energy in New York City hip-hop-wise, or is it just, mm-hmm. Yeah?
Oh, yeah. There's always shit going on.
Dope. So you're doing a compilation.
I don't know if it's going to be a compilation or just more my album, you know?
Like, talk about that a little bit.
I'm not sure. I don't want to be, like, typical and do a compilation, you know? I kind of just want to do... I have this MWA, if you're familiar with that.
MWA?
Yeah. That's what I call myself when I DJ clubs. Mexican Wrestling Association.
How'd you come up with that?
I was in a meeting with Atlantic Records about doing my album, and I was talking about wearing a Mexican wrestling mask, you know? And they were like, they thought I said Mexican Wrestling Association, so we just adopted that name.
So you doing...
I was mumbling.
Are you going to be doing cha-cha type backing tracks?
Nah, no polkas.
No polkas.
No cumbias. I'm doing a lot of like Euro dance stuff. It's kind of
dope.
Strange venture for me. I like it, though.
You've had a long career. What do you think is your greatest highlight so far?
Just the whole Kanye thing.
Yeah.
It's like, it's gotten bigger than any of us probably ever thought it would. I think he always knew it was going to be like that since he was a little kid, apparently.
What is it like working with, you know, he's such an icon. He's such, obviously, a person who thinks a lot, who takes a lot of risk, who's vulnerable. How do you support someone like that?
support him, you know. Support all his, anything that he's asked you to do that you think might be crazy or nuts as far as production, usually works out pretty good. He comes with crazy ideas all the time. I'm like, okay. But then I just do it, it usually works out.
I can't handle no liquor, but these bitches can't handle me. I can't control my niggas, and my niggas, they can't control me. You say you know me, my nigga, but you really just know the homie.
Do you guys ever have like a headbutting kind of a moment where you feel like?
Oh yeah, every day, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, every, you know, every day I'll bring, you know, parts for every song, you know, stuff I work on.
Yeah.
You know, maybe 1 out of 10 things will, you know, stick. You know. It's like a lot of turndowns before stuff gets accepted. Hmm.
What would you tell those up and coming kids who's just getting into it?
Just read the music business book to start with. You know, this book, this business of music.
Yeah.
And really start, try to understand publishing and points and business of the music. Cause I didn't care about that shit for like 15 years.
Hmm.
You know, so I'm not like a billionaire. You know what I mean? If I would have known about that shit when I started, I would be like, seriously, having some Jay-Z money.
Well, it's important for people to know. Yeah, I mean, you don't know that, and you don't hear that when you're starting out. Like, you don't know. You're just kind of, like, excited that people are interested in your work and they want to carry you and exactly. Make your dreams come true. And then you find out, like, maybe 8-10 years later, you're like, what is going on? And sometimes it's too late to do anything about it. You've had a blessed
run. Yeah, I was lucky to.
Blessed run.
Yeah, because I learned a lot of stuff on my first run. I did the second thing with Kanye. I made sure all my business was good, you know?
Yeah. So with all of the success that you've had, are there any, is there a motto that you live by or words that you live by?
Just never accept no as an answer to any task or requirement you ask somebody to do.
Mm.
Push people to do shit. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
It's like a rule with Kanye, you know. Never say no. Like if he says, people, like a lot of our tour managers or producers, you know, they'll be like, oh, we can't get this big wall for you for Coachella.
Right.
You know, and he's like, okay, you're fired. And I'll get someone that can give me that wall, you know.
Right, I understand.
That's why our shit's always so epic, you know. It's like, he pushes the boundaries, you know. Like, for Coachella, he came out in that lift.
I didn't see that.
That was when he had the lift that Michael Jackson used on his last tour. And he's like, I want that lift. And there, 2 people got fired, couldn't get it. You know, he finally got the lift.
So what is life for you outside of music? What do you do for fun?
Not much, really.
I usually, you know, when people ask me that question, I'm like, I don't do anything.
Yeah, ride bikes around New York. Okay. You know, the bike, cycle.
So, like, you for real New Yorker right now, huh?
Trying. Yeah.
Trying?
No. Yeah, I met my girlfriend Louise up here.
Oh, let's see if you're a real New Yorker. Wait, which borough do you live in?
Manhattan.
Come on.
What?
You gotta come over to Brooklyn, man. There's a lot of us in Brooklyn. There's a lot of
people. We're
looking
at a building over there right now. I'm thinking about.
Yeah?
Me and my neighbor, Neil Grayson, he's an artist, a local artist. We're gonna try to buy a building and turn it into an art thing.
That would be awesome. There's a lot of art. What gets you excited musically?
Musically?
Yeah.
Right. My new piano. I just got a piano last couple weeks ago.
What type of piano?
A Twi, like a 7-foot grand for my house. It's nice.
Do you play every day?
Yeah. About the same piano my piano teacher had, like a 1971 Kauai.
Wow.
So I could.
Has your piano teacher seen your success?
She died a long time ago.
How long?
I don't know, like 15 years ago.
Before things, yeah. Well, okay.
I was a little bit successful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did she ever, like,
see
any of it?
I think so. Okay. I wish. She put a lot of time into me.
Do you ever feel in Kanye's brilliance and controversy, is there anything from it that you ever feel like it's attached to you or?
Me and Kanye are like a band, you know?
Yeah.
That's what he says. He wants us, me and him, to be like a band, just, you know, work together for good, you know? That's why I started playing live with him. So it was frustrating seeing his other bands and stuff. Like,
how is that? You know, you're like the music director.
Yeah.
So you're doing that and recording.
Fired the drummer, you know, like, you know, he was stripped it down to just two keyboard players. And I play guitar and the man on DJs.
Is that demanding? Does that kill, like, the whole aspect of production for you? Like, have, because, I mean, being a music director for the largest artist.
It's a simple job.
Really?
Yeah, that's why I keep it simple. It's like, the DJ has, just uses Serato, he starts the songs, and we play. It's like, it's so simple. It's not like, having to program a whole, you know, show into Pro Tools and right. all that shit. And, you know, we just pick what songs we want to play on the spot. Like, 10 minutes before we go on stage, we pick the songs. Go out and play them, yeah.
So then you definitely have like that rock and roll approach to
yes, yeah. It's all rock and roll, yeah.
That's awesome, man.
Loud guitars, you know. That's my favorite part of playing live is guitars. You know, it's like you get to be a rock star for, you know, a few minutes.
Do you have any say in your outfit on stage?
No. And lately we've been wearing the little hoods, the masks. When we do a white show, it's like the desert mask thing.
Yeah.
And that's just a t-shirt we rip apart and put around our head.
Okay.
Kanye, they put all their time in Kanye's.
Got it.
You know, garb.
Are you ever going to do anything that is kind of like a throwback to your rap a lot days?
I've got some music actually about to come out that's like old stuff.
Yeah?
Yeah.
On who?
Freddie Gibbs.
Oh, word.
And Big Crit.
Really?
I'm trying to throw them back to the rap a lot sound, you know what I mean?
That's dope.
Big Crit. We got a song called Love the South Side. He's going to put, like, everybody in the South on it.
Is that
make,
for...
like, an eight-minute song.
Is that for their project, or is that for your project?
For their project.
For theirs.
Yeah, I'll probably executive produce Freddie Gibbs, more likely. We were hanging out last night again.
Okay.
Got a cool song about selling dope.
That's what's up,
that's
man.
Freddie Gibbs.
Yeah, he's awesome, man. He says he's got a song about his mama knows he's selling dope. It's really good.
So then, what's next for you? You have your record.
Yeezus album, the Yeezus tour, I guess. It's going to go down, yeah. Obviously, sometime next this year. Watch the Throne 2. That's not started yet, but we're starting to set tracks aside, I think, you know.
Well, Mike Dean, thank you for passing through. Microphone check.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, guys.